Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala namina ta'alim wa ta'alim wa nafa' wa intifa' wa tazakir wa tazkir wa al-ifada wa al-istifada wa al-hath ala tamasik bi kitabillah sunat rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa du'a ila al-huda wa dalala ala al-khayr ibtiagha'a wa tillahi ta'ala wa marrati wa kurbi thawabihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have reached verse 55 in our study of Surah Yasin, and in the previous session we looked at a few of the preceding verses. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَ هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, and they say, when will this promise come to pass if you are truthful? مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا تَأْخُذُهُمْ يَخِسِمُونَ, they await but a single cry that will seize them while they dispute. فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً, and they can make no bequest. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, nor return to their people. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنْ أَجْدَاثِ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, and the trumpet will be blown. Then behold, they will rush forth from their graves unto their Lord. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعْدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, they will say, O woe to us, who has resurrected us from our resting place? They will be told, this is what the All-Merciful promised, and the messengers told the truth. إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ, it was but a single cry, then behold, they will all be brought before us. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْرُوا نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, today no soul will be wronged in any way, and you will not be recompensed save for that which you used to do. And that takes us up to that the verses that we will look at today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, starting with verse number 55, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغَلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. And it just I just remembered to clarify in the very end of last session, when we were talking about the verses at the end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, I think that I quoted the verse that yom without fil yoma, that in towards the end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, when that Allah Ta'ala says after that the mujrimin in the mujrimina, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about the inna alladhina ajramu kana min alladhina amanu yadhhakun wa idha marru bihim yataghamazun wa idha qadabu ila ahlihim munqalibu fakihin wa idha ra'uhum qalu inna ha'ula'i ladallun wa ma what's the verse? فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, after that, the verse that comes right after that, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. So that they just want to clarify that it's فَالْيَوْمَ as opposed to يَوْمَ. So in verse 55, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now begin to speak about the أصحاب الجنة, the inhabitants of paradise, the people of the garden. Inna أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغَلٍ فَاكِهُونَ, is that the people of paradise that today or on that day are happily occupied, or you could say will be busy rejoicing. And the next few verses will that speak about some of the pleasures of paradise, some of the bliss that is experienced by that those that dwell therein. And that Allah Ta'ala refers to the people of paradise as the ashab, as the inhabitants. But literally, your sahib is your companion. And so that you call your companion a companion because they're always with you. They're connected to you. And this is why that this word sahib is that used in other ways as well, to indicate that there's an association and a relationship between that one person and another, or one person and another thing, or even place. But here the association is one of paradise. And أصحاب الجنة. So is that the people of paradise, were translated generally, but it's as if that paradise is their companion and that they are connected to it. And there's ملازمة, and that they are connected, and that they are that attached, and that they have an association. And the way that a friend has a that relationship with a friend, because they're always with him. So inna ashab al-jannah, so the people of paradise. And this is referring to the mu'minun as-salihun, that the righteous believers, al-yawm, either today or on that day, fi shughran fakihun. And that the word shughl is oftentimes a word that is that used for that work. And you could say fi shughl, or you could say fi shughl, with either a sukun or a dhamma on the ghain. And that ashghalahu bi shay means to preoccupy him with something. Preoccupy someone with something. And so the people of paradise is that they're going to be preoccupied. Fi shughalin fakihun. They're going to be happily occupied, or you could say even preoccupied, with this state of rejoicing in the bliss that they're experiencing in paradise. And this is amazing, because normally we think of shughal as a worldly thing. But now we're speaking of it as the way that the people of paradise are experiencing the bliss of paradise. Meaning they're not distracted by anything else. Is that they're experiencing pleasure after pleasure, and manifestation of generosity after manifestation of generosity. And it goes on eternally, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. And so this word that faqiha yafkahu in the Arabic language, it in general conveys the sense of being cheerful. And it's also the same word that you would use to for joking. As a fukaha is a joke. And a joke is that related to this idea of faqih yafkahu, which really is about that an experiencing of pleasure, an experiencing of bliss, and an enjoyment. Is it because that oftentimes when people joke, people laugh and they think it's funny. And it's the same word that we have, which is coming, faqiha. Faqiha is that a fruit, and in general, that any type of fruit in general. And why? Because fruit is that sweet, it's pleasurable, that we find that it tasty and enjoy eating it. So the people of paradise, is that they are going to be that preoccupied and happily busy rejoicing in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for them. As we know in a prophetic hadith, it's actually in a divine saying in a hadith Qudsi, as an a'dadtu li ibadiya salihin, I have prepared for my righteous servants ma la ayn ra'at wa la udhun sami'at wa ma khatara ala qalbi bashar. I have prepared for my righteous servants that which no eye has seen, that which no ear has heard, and that which has not crossed the heart of a man. And that you can only imagine what this would be, but the way that we would experience this bliss from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, is that this is the opposite of the dunya. Because in the dunya, is that how often do we actually get to relax? You take the average person who that has an average type of life. How many hours are we working? How many hours are we taking care of things around the house, or running errands, or whatever it is that we have to do to live? We spend hours and hours and hours a day that doing things just in order to live. And the amount of time that we actually have to enjoy usually is a small amount. And sometimes even people that are very well off financially and living a very nice life, they're so busy. Is that they never actually get a chance to enjoy their wealth, or to enjoy that their family or their home or their possessions or whatever it might be, because we're so busy. And that's the nature of this world. This is how it is. And yes, is that we have to be balanced as believers and putting everything in its proper place. And that's important. But the paradise is the opposite of this. Is that our preoccupation is in what Allah Ta'ala that has in store to give us from from the treasure houses and storehouses, treasure troves and storehouses of His generosity, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then some scholars do point out is that there are different pleasures that people receive in paradise, and that the shughl of Ahl al-Jannah mukhtalif. Okay, we translate it here as just being occupied. Okay, but that it differs for different types of people. And that there's different degrees of experience of the pleasure of paradise. And everyone who reaches paradise will that be in a state of utter bliss eternally. But then there's degrees after it. And so the shughl differs based upon that how we were here in this world. And that the two primary distinctions are the pleasures of the physical body and then the pleasures of the soul. And that paradise is both. There's physical pleasure and there's spiritual pleasure in paradise. And that here in this world is that the more that we accustom ourselves to that spiritual pleasure, that is finding joy in the remembrance of Allah, finding joy in the recitation of the Quran and in prayer, and in these types of things, the more that we are preparing ourselves to receive spiritual pleasure in addition to the physical pleasure in paradise. And the spiritual pleasure is that a higher form of pleasure, and that's here in this world, and that's let alone in the next world. And that the greatest pleasure of all in paradise is gazing upon the noble countenance of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That is the greatest pleasure of all. That is the most beautiful, most intense, most amazing gift of all, is to gaze upon the noble countenance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then that after that, it's that having Allah Ta'ala speak to you, which is coming, Salamun qawlan min Rabbin Rahim, having Allah address you, and that the pleasures that relate directly to knowledge of Allah. And then after that, it's being with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that the greatest way to receive those pleasures that were referred to, that are to be close to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The closer you are to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer you are and the more likely you are to receive to all of the different pleasures and all of the bliss of paradise, is to the degree that we are close to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of those meanings of being close at the level of belief and practice and character. So that's in the Ashab al-Jannah al-Yawma fi shughlan fakihun. And then in verse number 56, is that Allah tells us this is not just for the individual, is that the individual gets to experience this with other people. Hum wa azwajuhum, they and their spouses. Fi dhiladin ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un, is that they are seated on couches in the shade. So hum wa azwajuhum, they and their spouses. They're together. And that how are they being described? First and foremost, fi dhilal. They are in the shade. And that oftentimes in the modern world, because we're indoors so much, and there's books being written about this on this subject now, that how we are such an indoor culture, and we become so used to the climate control and the air conditioning and fans that come from having electricity, is that we don't appreciate shade the way we really should. Is that the vast majority of people who have lived on the face of this earth, that even though they lived in homes oftentimes because they didn't have electricity, that there was a higher appreciation, especially in hotter climates, of shade, because they were simply outdoors more. And when it gets hot and you see the difference of temperature, that when you're in the sun directly or you're in the shade, it's very different. The shade is very calming. It's something that is that very beautiful and very pleasurable for the human being. And that this is why even nowadays, one of the things that they send you in the mail, that the local power company, is that they advise you to plant trees close to your property. Because by having, you can cut down your electricity bill by having trees that near the windows that shade your home that from the direct contact of the sun. So even today, that there still is appreciation, but that there was a greater appreciation. And so when we read this, we should that go out and sit under the shade of a tree and really reflect on the blessing of shade. And that all of the meanings that are that in shade, and what is the whole purpose of it as a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here on earth. Anyhow, that Allah ta'ala describes that they and their spouses will be in the shade, fi dhilal. And dhilal is the plural of dhil. They will be in shade. Alad ara'iki muttaqiyun. And they will be on ara'ik, which are couches, the plural of arika. Or you could also say a sofa, something that is sat upon, and that the mufassirun describe is that they're actually kind of like canopies, and that whereas that they are in this place, and you can imagine a canopy and with that some type of privacy, and that there is that couches that they are that sitting upon. And how are they described? Not just that they have couches, they even specifics on how they are on their couches. Muttaqiyun. And ittika is to that lean on something. Ittaqi is to lean on something. And if you're leaning on something, it means that you're relaxed. If you look at the narrations where the Prophet ﷺ was leaning and then he sat up, that if someone was leaning and then sits up, it's a sign that something needs your attention and something needs to be addressed. But if you're leaning, it's a sign that you're relaxed, and it's a sign that you're comfortable, and it's a sign that you are that enjoying yourself. And so that they will be in shade, that adad araik muttaqiun, seated on couches, that in the shade. And Allah Ta'ala also in Surah Al-Waqi'ah speaks about wadhillin mamdood, an extended shade. And this is why they describe paradise as not having direct sun, as I've heard from my teachers, is that there's light, but there's not direct sun. Because even that now when we go outside, if it's sunny and you stand right under the sun, that oftentimes it's uncomfortable because it's too warm. It burns you. If you stand out long enough, that it will actually give you a sunburn, especially in the summer months. So that there's light in paradise but not sun, and one of my the teachers said is that it's like that light in late Fajr, a little bit before the sun rises. And if you know that time of day, it's one of the most beautiful times of the day. Especially if you're used to being outside and in an outdoors culture. I remember that time of the day specifically in Mauritania. You know, a little before sunrise is that you can see, but it's not hot even in the middle of the summer. And there's just beautiful that feel that when the sun's yet to rise and the light that's there and everyone's calm and most of the people are still in their homes, but a lot of the animals are out, you hear the birds chirping, and it's a very serene and beautiful time. As that is that the way that paradise looks, that at all times it gives light without that the direct sun. So huma azwajum bi dhiladin ala al-ara'iki muttaqi'un, they and their spouses seated on couches in the shade. And then Allah Ta'ala says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ, is that there they have fruit and whatever they ask for. So here, this is the same word that was mentioned earlier, that فَاكِهُونَ, and here that's in that its nominal form as a noun. And here, that it's also a noun, but it's that specifically refers to fruit. Whereas before, that the person who is faqih is the person who is rejoicing, is the person who is that cheerful because they're experiencing that something that is pleasurable. And now that it specifically refers to the faqih. And لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ, there they have fruit, all different types of fruit. And the taste of the fruit of paradise is not like the fruit that is here. And that they mention is that there's in one bite a certain taste in the beginning, a certain taste in the middle, and a certain taste at the end. And then every time that you taste it again, that it actually even tastes a little bit more better. And so here in this world, when you eat too much, even if you're eating the tastiest food, if you eat too much, all of a sudden you feel like you're sick and you don't have a desire to eat anymore. And so that were you to go to that five of the best restaurants in the world in one day, by the time that you had to eat the third time, even if it's the best food in the world, you don't eat it. Dish, because you've gone to your max. In the dunya, it's like that. Actually, the more that you restrain yourself from the pleasures of this world, the more that you actually enjoy them. And so we're fasting today. Why does that first date that you put in your mouth taste so delicious? And you add water, and that something else is served after that. It tastes great and much better than it normally does because you've prevented yourself from that having any food or drink for so long. This is the nature of the dunya. If you do something too much, is that you don't have the same that pleasure in relation to that desire. But in paradise, it's not like that. Is that it actually keeps getting better, and it keeps getting better, and it keeps getting better. And so, is that when you eat and you eat and you eat, you don't have indigestion. That it doesn't cause you stomach problems. Is that it just keeps getting that better and better and better from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will have all different types of fruits. Naam. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدْعُونَ. And they will have whatever they ask for. يَدْعُونَ أَيْ يَتَّمَنُّونَ. Everything that they desire, everything that they ask for, everything that they wish. Everything. And that, as opposed to the dunya, and this is why, is that we have to understand the blessing of just the existence of the afterlife and being rewarded in paradise. Because that when we're here in this world, people will be limited. Is that there's a lot of people who want things from this world, but they can't have them. Now, on the other hand, is that what we're really supposed to want is the right things from the world. But the nature of this world is that it's restrictive. There's certain things that certain people that can't have. If you don't have this amount of money, you can't purchase this particular thing. If you don't that have this particular house, you can't live in, you have this amount of income, you can't live in this particular neighborhood, you can't afford it, and so forth and so on. There's restrictions here in this world on what it is that we can have. You can't have certain cars if you can't afford them. Is in paradise, is that whatever you want, ma yad'u, khalas. And the difference here in the world is that when you want something, is that you have to actually go out and do something about it. Now modern technology has made that easier. We go onto Amazon, we order, and it arrives at our door and so forth. Right? But that still you have to put energy in to receive it in the dunya. And the akhirah, is that just wanting something, it happens right before you. Right? So, that they actually mention that, is that someone wants children. All of a sudden, a child is born, and they see the child that grow and become mature, right, instantly. They just get children, right? And without having to go through the pains of childbirth. And that if someone that just wants to eat a certain type of that meat, instantly, whoop, ready for them. Just with the desire, Allah Ta'ala gives it to them immediately. In the dunya, it's not like that. You can want all kinds of things, and you're never going to get them. Right? But in paradise, you just want something, I want that. It's there, right before you. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. And this is why when you really think about the bliss of paradise, we come to the conclusion, what are we doing with our lives, Ya Allah? We believe in this. Absolutely, we believe in this. We believe in this. But why does many of the things that we do belie our belief? That's really the question. Why is that the case? There is a disconnect between what is it we say that we believe and what it is that we actually do. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. And whatever they ask for, and whatever they ask for, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give it to them. And then, that one of the greatest things that the people of paradise want is to be acknowledged and addressed by the Lord of the heavens and the earth. This is why that verse 58 connected to verse 57. Salamun qawlan min rabbin rahim. Peace, a word from a merciful Lord. Or you could say from the Lord of mercy. In other words, is that this is what they want. That they want to be, that they want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to greet them. And that in with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala greeting them, that means is that they've achieved safety at that point. But there's aman min kulli makruh. They will be safe from all difficulties and all hardships. La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. And as we previously mentioned, when in the introductory session, is that if we say that Yasin is the heart of the Quran, the heart of Yasin is this verse. Salamun qawlan min rabbin rahim. Inna qalbi al-Quran Yasin, the heart of the Quran is Yasin. And Ibn Ajib mentions this in his tafsir. And the heart of Yasin is Salamun qawlan min rabbin rahim. And he mentions this right after. He mentions one of the spiritual meanings of Yasin. Is that tushir ila yawm al-mithaq. That the ya, tushir al yawm al-mithaq. The ya in Yasin relates to yawm al-mithaq, the day of the covenant. In the scene, tushir ila sirrihi ma'al ahbab. That the scene indicates the secret connection between Allah and those whom He loves. Now, فَقَالْ بِحَقِّ يَوْمَنْ وِثَاقُ وَصَرَىٰ مِنَ الْأَحْبَابِ الْقُرَانِ الْحَكِيمِ إِنَّكَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And then he mentions this. And so in other words, is that this experience that takes place between the lover and the beloved, the servant and his or her Lord, and what they experience that from the divine address that on that day, Ya Allah, the only thing greater than that is to that behold Allah and gaze upon His noble countenance. And that some of them say is that in addition to the salam, is that they're also blessed in that moment with a gaze upon the noble countenance of Allah Jalla Jalalu. And so Allah that will say to them, Salamu alaykum ya ahlil jannah. Peace be upon you, O people of paradise. And that we will hear it in a way that is befitting of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, not in the way that we normally hear sounds here in this world. And because when it comes to Allah Ta'ala, is that His eternal speech is not like that what it is that we normally think speech is here in this world. In a way that is befitting of His Majesty Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He will address the believers. And Allah Ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Ahzab, تَحِيَّتَهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنُهُ سَلَامُ. Their tahiyyah, their greeting on the day they meet Him will be salam. Some scholars say is that the salam comes by means of the malaika, by means of the angels. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْهُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. And the angels will enter upon them from every door. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَى الدَّارِ. That peace be upon you for what you have been patient for, and what a that great that an abode this id is as a result of what you've done. It is your end result. So that some say that the salam of Allah will come by the intermediary of the malaika, and some says that it comes without wasita, without intermediary, mubalaghatan fi ta'zimihim, and that this indicates is that Allah Ta'ala is honoring them. And this is really what they want. And this is why that Imam al-Kushayri, who wrote the great work of Tafsir al-Ta'if al-Isharat, Imam Abd al-Karim al-Kushayri, he says here, يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامُهُ وَسَلَامُ بِلَا وَاسِطَ. He says they will hear his kalam, his speech, and his salam, his greeting of them, without intermediary. وَأَكَّدْ بِقَوْلِهِ. And Allah Ta'ala emphasizes, right, with his words, قَوْلًا بِقَوْلِ مِنْ رَبِّنْ رَحِيمٍ. That, so he emphasized his words, that قَوْلًا, which is a word, with مِنْ رَبِّنْ رَحِيمٍ, that from a merciful Lord, لِيُعْلَمْ أَنُّهُ لَيْسَ عَلَى لِسَانٍ سَفِيهٍ, to indicate that this is not going to come on the tongue of an ambassador. In other words, it's going to come directly from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبِّنْ رَحِيمٍ. Allah could have said, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا. Is that peace a word, meaning that this is that going to happen. They're going to receive salam. But min Rabbin Rahim. Rabbin Rahim. From a merciful Lord. And some of the ulama differentiate between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim and say that Ar-Rahman is a universal mercy for all of creation, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, and all other things. But the name of Allah Ar-Rahim is specifically for the believers. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And He is merciful with the believers. And so, salamun qawlan min Rabbin Rahim. This salam is a word that comes from a merciful Lord, Ya Rab. And when we hear this, is that we hope that this strikes a chord deep within us. And that if it doesn't, we need to make more dhikr. We need to be more present with Allah. We need to give victory that to the angelic thoughts over the thoughts of the nafs and shaitan. And the more that we do that, the more that we will find pleasure in this and in being inclined towards this and receiving this great gift. And Imam al-Qushayri also says, and just look at what the ulama notice in the words of Allah Ta'ala. And subhanAllah, different scholars notice different points and different subtleties and different meanings. Not one tafsir is enough. There's so many different beautiful tafsir that note so many different meanings. And then so many meanings that actually never even made it to the books of tafsir that were transmitted orally, or that someone was gifted and that meaning was opened up to him or her and it just never actually was written down. Anyhow, he says as well, الرَّحْمَةُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ أَنْ يُبْقِيَهُمْ فِي حَالِ سَمَعِ السَّلَامِ. He says the mercy, so min Rabbin Rahim, that mercy in this moment is so that Allah causes them to remain while they hear the divine address, so that they don't become so bewildered is that they not be in the right mind, or that they just be gone such that they're so overwhelmed that they can't enjoy it. So salamu qawlan min Rabbin Rahim. And these are the type of things they notice. It's like in when Allah Ta'ala said to the fire, Liyanaru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. The ulama said, is that it's fire. But were that Allah Ta'ala not to have said wa salaman, that the cold would have harmed Ibrahim, even though he's in the fire. It would have been so cold, it would have hurt him. So kuni bardan wa salaman. Right? Be that cold and peaceful upon Abraham. Right? So that he can that be in a state of tranquility even though he's in an enormous fire. SubhanAllah. There's nothing that anyone or anything can do to any one of us to deter us from the path except to the degree that we let him or her or that deter us from the path. It's in our hands. Allah Jalla Jalalu is that He is Qadir ala kulli shay. He does whatever He wants. Is that He could put someone in the worst unimaginable circumstances and to that make that person that be in a state of utter bliss while they're going through the very worst tribulation. And knowing that, it's comforting, and such that if we go through tribulations, we hope Allah will give us the tawfiq to rely upon Him. Because if we rely upon Him, that's the door that will open up for that ever so difficult tribulation to be made easier and at very least tolerable, if not, and this is possible, that pleasurable. Tribulation can actually that even become pleasurable, even though it's very odd in the modern context to speak of it like that. Nor is it something you wish, but when it happens, is that that's where we hope that our iman does. So, salamu al-qawlu min Rabbin Rahim. He says here, this mercy is just so that we can actually remain to be in that state of pleasure from hearing the divine address. Yeah. And that in a hadith narrated by Ibn Majah, بَيْنَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي نَعِيمِهِ, while the people of paradise will be experiencing the bliss of paradise. إِذْ سَطَعْ لَهُمْ نُورٌ فَرَفَعُوا رُؤُسُهُمْ فَإِذَا الرَّبْ قَدْ أَشْرَفَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَوْقِهِمْ, is that there will be light that shines, they will raise their heads, and then that the Lord is then that gazing upon them. And again, when we speak about this in human language, that this is in no anthropomorphic way. These are words, that this is the only way for us to describe these incidents, but these are done without kayful and hisar, not in the way that we normally think of how it is that we see things. So we need to understand that. فَيُقُولُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and then Allah will address the people of paradise. Oh, peace be upon you, O people of paradise. فَيَنْضُرُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, and then they will gaze upon him. فَيَنْضُرُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, he will gaze upon them. وَيَنْضُرُونَ إِلَيْهِ, and they will gaze upon him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have an ishara, a subtle indication, that Ibn Ajiba mentions, as he said, as the inna ashab al-jannati al-mu'ajjala li-awliyaihim al-yawm fi shughlin kabir. And so that he said there is a paradisical type bliss that Allah Ta'ala brings forth to the hearts of the righteous here in this world. And someone might say, why are you talking about this? I'm trying to struggle and pray my prayers on time. I'm trying to stay out of doing things that are wrong. And you're talking to me about a paradisical state that Allah Ta'ala brings to the heart of the righteous when I'm struggling in my deen. I would respond to that by saying, yes, we have to know that this exists, and we have to know that these people exist, and that there are special times where there are certain people that especially experience this. And it's important for us, instead of responding like that with a coarse and hard heart and turning away from these meanings, to at very least, even if we're the furthest people from this, love those people who are experiencing this. And that love in and of itself will be of benefit. So, under all circumstances, whether we're experiencing it or not, whether that's our state or not, it still makes sense for us to speak about these. Is that their shughul kabir is, for them, their shughul is to be preoccupied with that Allah and His remembrance, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of these things that relate to their worship. And he goes through and he explains that all the different ways that this is done, this is their shughul, and that it's munajah, then it is worship, and their movements in the times of stillness are all built upon sincerity, and all of these things that happen to them as a result. And he says, is that this will preoccupy them from being drawn into the dunya, and which will that will then prevent them from the higher degrees of closeness to Allah in the next world. Now, and that he says is that the lal for them are the lal of rida, the shade of contentment. Khair inshallah. And then in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse 59, as it says, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ لَا إِلَهَ لَمُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And this is what you find throughout the Quran, is that there's Jalal and there's Jamal. There's a mention of Jannah, and then there's a mention of Nar. There's a mention of either a believer or disbeliever, and then the opposite, the disbeliever or the believer. And so just after mentioning Salam wa Qawl min Rabbin Rahim, وَامْتَازَ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُشْرِمُونَ, but step aside today, you guilty ones. InshaAllah ta'ala, time is almost up, so bismillah, we'll stop there. And we ask our Lord Jalla Jalalu, from the blessed of these last 10 days of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed to be from those believers that hear the divine address, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. May we be people of paradise, and we be from the elect of the Ashab al-Jannah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May we experience the bliss of paradise, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala take care of all of our affairs, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, and to make all of our affairs easy, and bless us to be able to dedicate ourselves to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all of our differences, Ya Allah, Ya Dhul Jalal al-Ikram, Ya Dhul Tawli wa Nam, anything that is preoccupying us in this dunya, Ya Allah, we ask You to move it aside, Ya Allah. Allah, and to make it easy for us to dedicate our lives to you, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, in the way that is most pleasing to you. May we all have long lives in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially in these last 10 days of this blessed month of Ramadan. Bless us, Ya Allah, to be able to that worship you on the night of Laylatul Qadr. Bless us to be able to benefit from the night of Laylatul Qadr. May we meet it in all of the meanings of meeting it. May we benefit from it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us in all of our different affairs, and to prepare us to be able to do that which will be a means for us, inshallah, to experience the greatest bliss, not only that in the next world, but also in this world. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.